Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 18. I want to continue on. I've sort of started on a topic of our relationship of love with the Father, and I want to continue in that vein. Because in further defining our relationship of love with the Father, with our Lord Jesus Christ, with ministers, and with one another, there are a few words we need to take a look at in the scriptures to enhance our understanding and give us a greater scope, perhaps, and a greater means of living the truth in a bigger way. These are the Greek words in the New Testament that are translated child, children, sons. They are the Greek word paideia or paideion, huios, and technon. And there are other words like brephos, nepos, and a few other things, but for brevity's sake, I just want to cover the three basic ones today, and because each one has a particular nuance that I wanted to bring out and show you. Because when we talk about children of God, a child of God, there's nuances there that I think will benefit your understanding and your heart. The first one, paideia, or paideion, means a young child and is translated generally little children or young child. It means one who is under someone else's supervision. Where they're being trained and they're being taught and they're learning. It's mostly translated little children or young child, and it applies both to male and to female. In Matthew chapter 18, let's start there. And the reason I want to get into this is because I want you to develop more on your relationship of love with the Father. That it's not just something from the book, it's something from your heart. Something that you've learned and digested from the scriptures and it has become such a part of you, it is just integral to your lifestyle and to your life, moment by moment, day by day. Not just a religious aspect, you know, where certain times of the week you might think about it or certain events you may think about it, but it is moment by moment you are aware of God's presence. We talked about being in someone else's presence, or like we talked last week, how I am when Connie's at home. We may not be talking to each other. I may be downstairs. She may be upstairs. But I'm so aware of her presence. That's part of it's just our lifestyle. And that should be with God. We are just aware of his presence. And I think that helps to keep all other relationships in a much more fluid state and general state. Because the world tries to grind you down day by day, moment by moment. It tries to grind you down. You want to listen to the music, but at the same time, you have to listen to the news because they interrupt the show you're listening to on your radio with music. I mean, no, they interrupt it with the news. And they have their perspective, and they have what they want to achieve. And it's always things that will contradict the scriptures. It's always things that go against God's desire for mankind. And it tends to grind you down. And we need to be strengthened moment by moment. And I want you to have the fullness of this. So here this word, paideia, is in Matthew chapter 18. Let's start in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That was their concern. Who's numero uno? Of course, we know God is number one, and Jesus, you're number two, but who sits in seat three? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you be changed, and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here's number three, a little child. One who wants to learn, one who doesn't care. If you tell your child, sit over here, you know what they do? They sit over there. Or come here, sit next to dad. They come right over and they sit next to dad. Or dad says, go sit next to your mother. Your child goes over and sits next to his mother. If you told him, sit on the other side of the room, he'd get up and he doesn't care where he sits. He just likes to be there and be in the presence of it. There's kind of a lesson here to his disciples about arguing who's going to be the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven. But at the same time, he's trying to show them, be converted, be changed back, so to speak, into a child, just the innocency of a child, one who wants to learn, one who wants to do, not one who has to earn everything. Your child, you know, I'm hungry, here's some things to eat. You know, take your pick, what would you like? All of these different things. Have the humility of a child. He's not worried about where he's going to sit. He's not worried about what he's going to eat. He's not worried about it. He's just thinking about going out and playing with his toys. Kind of that way. Become as a little child, as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of
heaven.
Heaven. The kingdom of heaven requires the personal presence of the king. Who is the king of the kingdom of heaven? Jesus Christ. Is he there?
Yes.
So when is he talking about? Some future time?
Yeah.
He's talking about the right now. Here you are right now, you're children of God. But you know, you're children of God, but you're not entering into the kingdom. It's right here. But you have to have that humility and innocency of a child to enjoy it right now. You'll have a perfectly renewed mind in the future and you will enjoy it, but what do you want to enjoy in the kingdom of God right now? Don't worry about all of that stuff. Just have that humility and just live and let God be a father unto you and let yourself be a child of God. That's the essence of this section of scripture and why he's talking to them about it. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Jesus said, come over here. You know what the child did? He came. He didn't say, oh, I've got to walk in a certain way so that he sees that it's me and, you know, he notices and takes, and then I can. None of that stuff goes through the child's head. He just walks over. You know, there's not all these ulterior motives. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name does what? Receiveth me. Now, I want to take a moment to go through two Greek words. And that's the words for receive. We learned, or some of you have learned, there are two main words translated receive, dekomai in the Greek, dekomai, and lambano. And I just want to get into that, but I'll go back to that a little later. Let's go ahead and finish this. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Well, you get the picture. That's what Jesus wanted you to see. really something. The word offend means cause to stumble by setting a snare, to mislead or to entrap. That's a terrible thing. Offend one of these little children. In other words, if you have a child and it is a paedia, it's in relationship to one who's being trained and one who's being taught. So you want to be careful with what you're training and you're teaching that child, right? And this is particularly to his disciples, because his disciples do fellowships and his disciples are teaching people. So you want to be careful. You don't want to mislead anyone. You don't want to ensnare them in anything or to entrap them, whether it is deliberate or just don't be the bait either. So what's his concern? His concern is about the innocency and the simplicity with which a child lives and with which a child learns. Don't lose that. Never lose that. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark. We're looking at this word paedia or paedia, however you want to pronounce it. Different people have different ways of pronouncing all these words. I don't speak Greek, so I don't know. But you understand what I'm talking about. In Mark chapter 10, am I in the right place? Oh, yeah, verse 14. We'll start in verse 13. And they brought young children, that's the word paedia, to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Beautiful. Suffer is King James English. That's 17th century English, and it simply means allow. Suffer, allow. Doesn't mean injure, hurt, get them in a headlock, suffer little children, beat them up. It just means allow them the free access. Beautiful. Again, with the word paedia, the emphasis is on training and teaching. And the greatest training and teaching we can do is lessons on love and directing people's hearts toward the love of God. And he says in verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not
enter therein.
Again, the kingdom of God is over all. So are we in the kingdom of God right now?
Yes.
Well, if we want to enter it, then we need to have our thoughts in the kingdom of God. People are waiting for the establishment of some piece of territory and setting up new rules and setting up all these different things. And so we're worried about who's going to get elected, and we're worried about, or we might be worried about who's not going to get elected and what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there. We can be in the kingdom of God right now. by what we hold in our thoughts, what we allow in our minds, what we digest. How humble are we to the truth of God and the truth of the kingdom? Because you can live in the kingdom of the world, or you can live in the kingdom of God right now. Which do you want to live in? And the world is always beckoning us to come back to the world. Stay in the world. Get absorbed into the world. And it takes effort to discipline ourselves to stay in the kingdom of God. You know, especially at work, you have situations come up and different things that happen, and it's the world trying to suck you back into the world. But I believe you can maintain yourself in the kingdom of God, yet live in this world, and so does God. We live in this world, but we are not of it. And we ought to stay faithful and loyal to our kingdom. Doesn't matter what political party you want to be or what particular political bent, that loyalty is not my concern at all. My concern is my loyalty to the kingdom of God and to stay in the kingdom of God. And he took them up, Jesus, verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and what? All right. Who is blessing them? Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and his disciples are trying to get the parents not to let the children come to him for a blessing. In the kingdom of God. But the parents apparently realize the value of being in the kingdom of God and the value of having a minister of God bless their child. Because the word bless means to speak praise, to encourage. It can also mean to give happiness. Well, who's blessing him? Jesus Christ, a minister of God. Do you think that might be important as the child grows? I think it could become very important. I know on the day that I was ordained to the Christian ministry, a minister laid his hands upon me and spoke words, and those words are very important to me, and I reflect on them many, many times, because that is not something the world gave me. That is something I believe God had spoken to me for my life and in directing my life for my happiness, for my blessing, for my encouragement, that I reflect back on it many, many times. It is important to allow that in our day and time. And it is also important for you as a parent to bless your child, particularly in significant points and major turning points or changes or phases of life, to lay your hands upon your child and bless them. It doesn't, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, and someday you will become the president of General Motors. You know? Oh, thanks. Another headache. No, but to lay your hands on upon your child and to speak words of comfort, to speak words of praise to your child, especially in relationship to spiritual matters, especially in relationship to the kingdom of God, and especially in relationship to their relationship with their Heavenly Father. Those things are necessary. I don't think it's something that you need to do every day, but I certainly think that there are times in a person's life that those words that are spoken can be of great significance. I think of, you know, maybe your child is graduating from high school and they're going to be going off to college and they're going to be having new experiences. It'd be the first time that perhaps they're away from home for if not overnight, an extended period of time that they're going to have to live in that environment, and you want to bless them. You want them to know that spiritually they're ready, and spiritually they have nothing to fear because the power and presence of God is with them in every situation, and that, you know, He's given them not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So don't be afraid. You've learned all these different materials and things like that. And most of all, you want an education, and you want to develop yourself in a particular field. And that can be very godly and very wonderful. And you have that kind of ability. Maybe your daughter is getting married, and she's going to be living with someone. And perhaps bearing children and those kinds of things. You may want to lay your hands upon your daughter and bless her. Well, your son's getting married too, you know. You may want to lay your hands upon them and bless them. There are very significant points, but here they were trying to stop the people from doing that. And the lesson, and in the training of them, which Jesus was trying to show, He did what? He blessed them, and He spoke great words over them. So I think that's very beautiful. Well, let's go back to Matthew 18. I want to read that section and handle a little bit about dekomai and lambano. Because I think that in some of the ways we have heard them be used, we think one is superior to the other. And so I want to show you something about it. And in verse 5, it says, Matthew 18, verse 5, "And whoso shall receive," that's dekomai, "one such little child in my name, receive," and that is the word dekomai again, "me." Again, dekomai is to receive subjectively. So what is it to receive subjectively? You know, I think we get into this. One is received subjectively and the other one is received objectively. And one is to receive and the other one is to receive into manifestation. And we kind of think that that's the big deal, which it is. It is a big deal and it is important. But not at the expense of dekomai, because the word dekomai means to take to oneself. To accept. Another good term would be to embrace. It is in a very positive way, and it is in the terms of bringing yourself subordinate in thoughts and concepts, where your thinking becomes subordinate under authority to a superior. In other words, you are taking it to yourself. And now you have the authority, but you're under a superior. It's in a very positive way. Isaiah 55, here's the reason why. Isaiah 55. In verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Well, that can be disheartening. But obviously, He thinks a different way than humans think. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than..." Well, I would like to have higher thoughts, not just a higher love, but I want to get higher thoughts. So I want to embrace what he says, embrace his thinking, accept his thinking, and bring myself subordinate to his thinking, and he will give me the authority under his superior thinking. You got it? It's a very wonderful thing. Place his thoughts superior to my thoughts in my mind and subject to his, because they are superior. His thought is, I'll give you an example. His thought is, love your enemies. My thoughts were never there. It would not even come up in my mind to have thought about love my enemies. And how in the world would I ever accomplish that? But you know what? I have made my thoughts subject to his thoughts concerning love and concerning the power and authority that I have. And it has made that concept that seems so outlandish to my mind that it didn't even want to review it a absolute reality and an accomplishment for me. So his thoughts, my thoughts would never get me there. Will yours? Not unless we bring our thoughts subject to his thoughts. Dekomai, his words. That is, digest them until his words become a very part of my being, my outlook, the way I function, what I do. I know people are always concerned about my heart. I want to know my heart. I want to know God's heart. I don't want to even live my heart because I lived under it and it was not good. But I know his heart is absolutely pure and his heart is absolutely wonderful, and I want to live his heart. I want to be in my daily living, how I live, how I move, how I speak, what I do to reflect the heart of God. That brings us to lambano. Lambano is to receive objectively. We have always heard defined as to receive into manifestation. Sometimes people don't really even understand what the word manifestation means. And that's no shame, but you ought to get a dictionary and look it up. And that will help you understand, instead of, I'm going to lambano it and I'm going to live it in manifestation, but I don't even know what manifestation actually means. I have a general idea of what it means, but languages are to be specific. We live in a culture that is so highly educated, yet it is embarrassing and shameful how we view our own language and degrade it constantly. But it is important. But in any case, to receive objectively is to attain or to accomplish. Does that hit home with you? To achieve, that's what that word, to bring into manifestation means to achieve something. That, in other words, to gain a purpose or to arrive at the purpose. To achieve or accomplish a purpose. Our purpose is the same as Jesus Christ's purpose. That was to make known God. Everyone says God, and there are billions of definitions of what God is. Jesus Christ set the perfect definition of God. That there are not enough words to completely say it, but he lived it and manifested it. That is our lambano. So that we might declare the Father, to show forth his attributes. One of the things is God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. To show forth his attributes, his character. His character is love. And his intent, good and not evil, that you may have an expected end. I would like, when people are around me, to feel they have an expected end. That I will not do them evil, but I will do them good. Or I will lead them to good. I will direct them to good. I will direct them to light and no darkness at all. I will lead them to light and no darkness at all. I will show them that perfect love that is boundless, measureless, and the rest of the things you know. Dekomai and lambano are not antagonistic. You will not be able to lambano unless you first dekomai. It's the first step. They are companion one to another. And then if you accept it, if you embrace it, then you will manifest it because it becomes a very part of your life if you digest it. And that's what we want to do with God. We want people to see a living, moving, real-life representation of this God who is light and in him is no darkness at all. This God who is love. This God whose will is not evil but is good. This God who's wants them to see that they have an expected end. That is what we are after. Not only in operating the nine manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit, where most of us only operate one and at best two, when there's nine to manifest, outwardly, it's just because we haven't embraced, we haven't accepted the information on the other manifestations like we did on the first two. And so we've limited ourselves, but we can manifest all of them. We talk about all nine all the time, but I only see two most of the time. And that's only when we get together and somebody calls on you. But the point is, it is available and it can be functioning if we will accept, if we will embrace, if we will decomai it first. So, but they are companion one to another. Receive the word with meekness, retain it with conviction, and release it with boldness. Why do I retain it with conviction? Because it is my core belief. It is what makes me, me. It is what makes you, you. Because you have decided to exchange the things of even your soul life, your desires, your wants, your needs, your thoughts, to God's will, God's desire, God's thoughts, because they are higher than ours. And release with boldness, both in my speaking about it, but also in the way that I live. What do I show forth? and in the manifestation of power, evidence of my love relationship with our Father. So those are some of the things. The next word translated child, children, or son is huios. It means to be a descendant of or offspring. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. And this is very clear how we arrive at this definition. Oh, I'm back in Isaiah. My gosh. Matthew chapter 1. And here it is. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the huios of David, the huios of Abraham, the huios, then it goes on, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and it goes down. Do you see a lineage connection? Do you see a descendancy connection? Beautiful. Pretty clear. Means a descendant, offspring. Verse 25. The last verse of this chapter. Well, so you get the context. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn huios, and he called his name Jesus. His firstborn indicates that there are going to be other born, and there's going to be a descendancy. In other words, Joseph's line and Mary's line are going to continue. There'll be a descendancy. See how you can see how that definition fits with it? Beautiful. Continuing lineage. Let's look at chapter 3. And in verse 17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven, saying, this is my beloved huios, in whom I am well pleased. Who is doing the speaking? And do you think he has a continuing descendancy, continuing offspring? And we are part of it. So that's just what I wanted to share with you. Next week, we'll look at the word technon to see it in its character and its intent in defining our relationship of love with the Father. Bless your hearts.